Okay, praise the Lord and good evening. Welcome to our live online class for SOM School of Ministry tonight. I thank you for joining us. I trust God that you're having a wonderful season. The year is almost over. You know, we're getting into festivities and all of that. So I thank you for taking the time tonight to join us on this very important final live online class for SOM for this 2013-2014 session. Let's bow our heads and share a word of prayer before we get going tonight. I know we have a few things that I'd like to cover before we dismiss. Father, we thank you tonight. I honor you and give you glory and honor and praise for your presence amongst us. Lord, for this class, this opportunity that you have given unto us to be here today, I thank you, Father God, for everything that you have prepared and arranged. And I commit this session into your hands, Lord. I ask for your mighty presence. I ask that the Holy Spirit will take the liberty to move freely amongst us. I ask, O God, that you give us insight, wisdom, knowledge, and direction tonight. I pray, Father, that everything we do will be to your glory and to your praise, that you guide our steps. Lord, I commit everything that we're using tonight, our equipment, airwaves, and all of that into your hands. I thank you, Father God, for our helpers, and I pray that you bless them. I pray for every student that is joining us online tonight and those that will eventually either view this video or listen to the audio. And I pray, Father God, that the same grace that we enjoy here tonight will be their portion. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Welcome again, and I thank you for joining us tonight. For those who are there, I really want to just take a moment before I get going into the materials or into the different things that I want to touch on tonight. I really want to just take a moment to thank God for those of you who are, especially those of you who started with us last year in 2013, when we first launched this particular session and actually began the open enrollment program for the School of Ministry. And those of you who joined us then started out with us, and you are still there now, and you are almost rounding up in your fourth semester. I really do congratulate you. And I thank God for you. I know that this is by no means a mean achievement. It's not a mean feat in any way. So I do thank God for you, and I encourage that the same steadfastness you have shown in just following this curriculum and following the program, that you will continue to work with in your ministry and in your future. I also want to thank God for those who really just enrolled after we started. Some of you enrolled a few months, a few weeks, and some people actually really just enrolled this year, some actually in just the latter part of this year. Whatever your situation is, I do welcome you tonight. I know it kind of gets a little different going forward, because for this 2013-2014 session, this will be our last live online class. So what that means then is, for those who are running the open enrollment, the live online classes, well, if we won't call it live online class, the classes that you're going to be viewing are some of the ones that we've already recorded. We're going to find a way of keeping in touch with you, working with you. I'm talking about those of you who are not in the fourth semester now, those of you who are like in the third, second, or fourth semester of SOM. So we won't be running these same online classes until we start a new session. And I don't know if that's going to be 2014. I don't know if that's going to be 2015. I really don't have any clarity on that at this point. But for those of you who are already into that open enrollment, whether you are local students or you are national students within the country, or you are international students around the globe, everything we've already recorded will be made available to you, so you can continue to access these things. And then we will be in touch with you. So if you have questions or things come up that you need us to help you with, we would always be there. We will keep the same practice that we've always maintained since we started. So within the 24-hour period that you ask us a question or you get with us, there will be at least some sort of a response within 24 to 48 hours. So I trust God that it continues to flow smoothly. I'm very, very delighted. I'm really thankful and very much humbled at the opportunity that we have had to be a part of your lives, especially those of you who are now rounding up. And I'm very, very excited tonight that we're able to run this final class. Now, obviously, I want to do just a little bit. I'm not going to really do mainly much of a review of the fourth semester. That's really all I'm focusing on tonight. So even if you are not in the fourth semester, that's fine. You'll still be blessed by the things that we share together. So I'm not really going to be reviewing extensively the materials. There are two major lessons in the fourth semester that I think are extremely great. All of them are absolutely powerful and good. And of course, especially the rounding up lessons at the end are very good. But two of them that I think maybe help us put everything together in this fourth semester will be, I think it's lessons 37 and 38, and I will look at those in just a minute here. Might just kind of allude to one or two things there. But before I do that, I want to talk again about our practicum. The practicum for those who will be graduating, those who will complete the curriculum this semester and will be graduating. I've talked extensively about your practicum, but I don't think I've actually remembered to allude to the fact that we actually have a handout for that practicum. And I believe it's probably online already. I'm going to have to check with our tech people. If that has not yet been posted online, we will have it posted. But there's actually a handout that says School of Ministry Practicum for the fourth semester. And it spells out clearly, because everything I say is either what you've heard me say in the lessons or the things you've heard me say in the live online classes. But this is good because it spells it out clearly. It's in print, black and white. And it's very easy for you to follow everything that is written therein. So I'm going to try to touch on that first before I do any kind of review. And then I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to kind of close out the entire session tonight. And then we'll pray. And of course, I'll take your questions if you have questions or whatever comments you may have before we close as well. So this practicum for the fourth semester, this is what it says. So it's divided into two groups. There are two different practicum exercises. And it's based on whether or not you regularly or once in a while, if you the student, if you do any kind of sermon preparation or message ministry in your church, wherever you are, or maybe you never have. So it's kind of broken up. And so the first one is for the group of people who maybe from time to time get the opportunity to minister in their churches. So if you preach regularly, whether you are a pastor yourself or you are an associate or someone who helps minister on the pulpit from time to time, this will be the exercises that I expect you to carry out for your practicum. Again, like I said, I'm sure this outline is probably online already, but if it's not, we will post it there so that you can go read it up yourself. But let me just go through it for you here in this class. So if you preach regularly, the first part of your practicum is preaching. It's based on preaching. I'm going to need you to put together a new sermon or a new message from whatever the Lord has been stirring within you in the last month or two. So something that's been fresh or hot in your spirit over the last month or two. Then I want you to plan a service or a meeting or request from your pastor or your leader, courtesy of the School of Ministry, to be allowed to minister this message that you put together. And then I want you to send me the audio recording, the CD, the message outline, as well as a report on the process you undertook in putting the sermon together, the delivery of the sermon, and the response from your hearers. So that's the first part, and that's preaching. Then there's a second part to this practicum, which we call mentoring. And that's the B part. And what I want you to do with this is I want you to select three people in your church or in your ministry, your church community or any fellowship that you're a part of, that you do not currently have a close mentoring relationship with. Obviously, there must be people that can be mentored by you. Maybe there are people who maybe who look up to you, or people who are maybe newer in the faith than you are, or people who are newer in your ministry than you are, or people who are younger than you. So I want you to select three people. If you can't find three, I'll let you get by with two in your church or your ministry that you do not currently have a close mentoring relationship with. To B, I want you to draw up a three-month mentoring plan for them, and then just based on some of the materials that we have discussed in SOM, and then engage them in pioneering a new or existing ministry in your church. So draw up a three-month mentoring plan for them, and then engage them in pioneering a new or existing ministry in your church. And then the third part of that is send me a comprehensive report on how you went about this process, the results of the three-month practicum project, and most importantly, the feedback on the performance of the three potages being mentored. So that's the first part for those who preach regularly. Now, obviously, if it's a three-month mentoring thing, let's even say you start sometime in January, you obviously won't be done with this until March. So altogether, we are hoping to wrap up everything for the session as far as maybe even marking your scripts, getting your final grades and things out to you all by the spring of 2015. So we still have some time here. But as far as what we do in setting up to meet or broadcasting and all of this, that's rounding up today. The second part of the practicum is for those who do not preach regularly or who've never preached at all. And I want you, it's also two-sided. And the first part is preaching. Using the principles of message/sermon preparation learned in SOM, I want you to prepare a short 30-minute exhortation. Then I want you to request the leader of a small group or ministry in your church or pastor, courtesy of the School of Ministry program, to give you the opportunity to minister that message to a small group of people. And I want you then to send me the audio recording /CD message outline, as well as a report on the process you undertook in putting your sermon together, the delivery of the sermon, and the response from your hearers. So that's the first part. The second part is pioneering. I want you to put together a pioneering plan for a new or existing fledgling ministry you feel interested in at your church. And then I want you to write a comprehensive report about your activities, the process, progress made, and results produced in that period of time. So what I mean by new or existing fledgling ministry is maybe something maybe your pastor is interested in, but it's just not really been going yet. Nobody's really doing it, but it's been there. It's kind of placed there. Or fledgling, it's there. They've tried, but it's not really succeeding. And you have an interest in it. I want you to take it on. And I want you to put together a pioneering plan for that ministry. And then write a comprehensive report about your activities, the process, the progress made, and the results produced in that period of time. One of the things I liked about this particular one was I remember in the last session that we graduated of SOM, we actually did have a particular minister who's attached to a ministry somewhere in the South, who I think I've mentioned that in one of our live online classes before, who put together a plan to pioneer a youth ministry in their church. They've never really had one. And she put together, based on some of the things she learned on pioneering and mentoring and stuff like that, put together a pioneering plan for a youth ministry and executed that plan over a period of time and then sent the report based on what her activities were, the progress she made, and the results that were produced. So that's going to be it for your practicum, and all responses and reports should be sent to us through the student feedback page on the School of Ministry website. If you have any questions at the end of the class, I'll be happy to take them and address whatever concerns you may have. But that's the practicum. Like I said earlier, I just basically want to look at one or two things for those who are in the fourth semester. For those who are in other semesters, first, second, third, if you have questions, you can still ask me those questions tonight. I'm just not doing any review under the materials that you are covering. Just because this is going to be the last live online class for this particular session, I want to devote most of what I do to those who are almost at the end of their program, who will be graduating. Now, of course, what I share is going to be absolutely beneficial to all of us, those who are at the beginning or those who are at the end. So, of course, that would be something that you will you will be blessed by, hopefully, at the end of it. But for those in the fourth semester, like I said, just about everything that we did this semester, whether it's under church pioneering, maintaining open heavens, preaching, leading a church, shepherding, spiritual authority, all of those different things that we talked about, behind the scenes, labor, developing the skills of ministry. I really like spiritual authority very much, just because there's a whole lot there that we deal with on a regular, ongoing basis with regard to the attacks that the enemy sends against us, but also with regard to just the flow of our relationships within our fellowships and within our ministries. I think that the concept of spiritual authority is an extremely powerful one. Then I like spiritual warfare, of course, which is very closely tied in with the teaching on on spiritual authority. But I really like spiritual warfare. I like a lot of what we learn here. And of course, one of the appendices that I have under spiritual warfare is what I call a message that I administered several years ago called spiritual jurisdiction, which I think is also very powerful. And another appendix is the accuser of the brethren. That's also really powerful. But if you go all the way to lesson 37, where we talk about ensuring continuity for the future of the ministry, there are some very powerful things in there that I believe will be an extreme blessing to all of us. Underneath this topic, we cover things like walking in wisdom, talk about wisdom being one of the three kingdom priorities that are required for success. And we talk about wisdom being the key that unlocks every door of life, and without it, we'll stumble. Then we kind of differentiate between godly wisdom, which is superior to other kinds of wisdom, and other wisdom such as human wisdom, earthly wisdom, worldly wisdom, and demonic wisdom, and things like that. And we talk about when this principal grace of wisdom is at work in our lives, we become supernaturally unbeatable, just like Jesus was. You know, a lot of times the enemy couldn't gain the upper hand over our Lord Jesus Christ when he walked upon the earth. Mainly, one of the main reasons was because Jesus walked in the wisdom of God. And it didn't matter what angle the enemy came at him from, Jesus always had a response that was based not necessarily on intellectual reasoning or thinking and things like that, but he always had a response that was based on divine wisdom from heaven. And that always put him steps way ahead of the enemy. And if you and I will pursue the wisdom of God as a priority of our lives, whether it's in our relationship, in our personal lives, or in ministry, in serving God, and in the things we do, it's going to be very, very, very difficult for the enemy to overwhelm us. I didn't say he won't attack. I didn't say that he won't put us under pressure, but I'm saying it will be very difficult for him to overwhelm us, because wisdom in itself is the one thing that always enables us to bypass the traps of the enemy that are set in our path, so that we can keep walking, we can keep making progress in the journey that God has called us to walk. And we'll talk about pursuing wisdom as a priority of our lives. Then, after talking about wisdom, one of the definitions we give to wisdom, one of the most powerful ones that I have heard over the years, is wisdom is comprehensive insight into the ways of God. Comprehensive insight into the ways of God. I tell you, it is amazing to me how, and all of these things just so tie up together and so powerfully. I'm going to tell you a little personal thing that we're dealing with. I have the opportunity to deal with ongoing in this period. I think maybe a couple of weeks or so ago, our daughter, who is in college, is very active in their Christian students fellowship, which is more like the ministry that reaches out to Christian students and then that tries to expand the kingdom of God in college, where she is in New Jersey. That ministry hit a bump, and it was a bump, a leadership bump, where issues came up between some of the people in their leadership the overall senior person, the coordinator of the ministry, who is not living there in Princeton, but who oversees all of these ministries in the Ivy League colleges. He had some issues with some of their leaders on the ground in some of the colleges, especially this one here in Princeton. And that fellowship almost imploded, came under such a major attack of the enemy. One of the things that contributed to the difficulty of the situation was the recent problem in Ferguson. You know, Ferguson, where there was this racial situation with an unarmed teenager being shot and killed, and some of the things that came out with the jury not indicting and all of the protests and everything. Well, obviously, that, you know, got into some of their fellowships and a lot of racial tension, a lot of difficulties, and to the point where some of their overall ministry fellows who are actually full-time in the ministry got fired from their position, and just a whole lot of difficulty going on there. Now, one of the things that interested me and kind of caught my attention with this, because I remember that when our daughter shared a number of the things that were going on, and she needed wisdom because she plays a very active role, actually is one of the student leaders there. But one of the things that interested me in the whole thing is just stepping back and thinking to myself, you know, these are going to be the leaders of this future, of the future of this nation, the future of the body of Christ. These are some of the leaders. These are some of the people being groomed in colleges who are, they are going to spearhead a lot of things that's going to happen in this country spiritually. But it hit me and it became so clear. As, you know, she talked with my wife and I, and we tried to, you know, give her some counsel, some direction as to how to navigate this difficult period. It hit me how so lacking the depth of wisdom is generally across the body of Christ, especially, I think, especially in our new generation movement, where a lot of things are mental, a lot of things are intellectual, and of course, many times we know more politics than we know scriptures. We know more about how government runs, how the three tiers of government should work together. We know more about that than we actually recognize, you know, principles from the Word of God that teach us how He wants His kingdom established on the earth, how He wants authority established, how He wants leadership conducted, and things like that. And I found out in just some of the conversations that many of these students with great hearts and wonderful people and good passion, but how they are so lost, and how they have absolutely no idea how to address some of the difficulties that they are facing. And, you know, I went back and I looked at School of Ministry and I thought, wow, I just wish some of them had been exposed to our teachings in School of Ministry. I wish some of them had the opportunity. So again, I guess one of the things it did to me was it showed me the importance of this and just the ability to receive knowledge and instruction in areas like this. This is very rare. It's very uncommon. It's amazing to me how, and this is not just unique to these students. I've seen this right across the nation. I've seen when churches come into crisis, when leadership comes into crisis, many times people usually just resort to what they think, usually resort to what they've been taught, you know, how things are done in politics, and how things run in a democracy and things like that. Nothing wrong with democracy, but we have to understand that God has a way. So if wisdom, one of the definitions we've learned about wisdom is comprehensive insight into the ways of God. Comprehensive insight into the ways of God. It's to be able to line up the dots and say this connects with this and this connects with that. This is how God wants me to go about addressing this situation so that I can end up achieving God's results if God Himself was dealing with this situation. And all of us, this is why life is so dynamic. All of us every day deal with situations of life where we need to have the wisdom of God. As people who are called to serve God in ministry, in some capacity or the other, you are going to need the wisdom of God. And trust me, there will be things that will come up in life, in some of the places where you're serving. Just the fact that you have gone through this, if you've paid attention, because sometimes, you know, we go through some of these things and then we forget and we don't ever go back to pick them up. But I guarantee you, and that's why we didn't just take you through School of Ministry. We also produced that student manual for you. That's a keepsake for you. That's something you can keep for the rest of it. You can keep that alongside some of your other important books, notes. Refer to this from time to time. You know, you're dealing with something that has to do with prayer. Look for some of the teachings here on prayer. You're dealing with something that has to do with finances. Look for some of the teachings here on finances. You're dealing with something that has to do with faith or how to advance the kingdom of God. Go here and look for some of the things we've taught about the kingdom of God. You're looking to deal with areas of vision and how to organize it, how to find your place. Look in here for areas where we've talked about vision. Certainly, when you talk about things like authority and leadership and organization, look in here, because all of those issues and all of those subjects have been addressed. And the beautiful thing about it is you have it all in compact form and you can just refer to it. It amazed me and it saddened me so deeply. Just listening to my daughter sharing some of the challenges they are having. And I know how much of a benefit that fellowship has been to students. I mean, we're talking record numbers of unbeliever students in an Ivy League college who are actually turning to God. They are going to fellowship. They are learning the principles of God, principles of faith, principles of discipleship. They are walking with God. These are kids who've never gone to church in their lives. These are kids maybe from some of the most influential families all across the world, from all across the entire globe. Kids who've never darkened the four walls of a church building and now are in fellowship, are learning the nitty-gritties of faith and things like that. So I know, I understand how impacting that fellowship has been. And yet, just with this crisis, it's almost imploding, almost coming apart, mainly because some of the knowledge and wisdom and understanding that should be operational are not there. And praise God, people have good hearts, they have a good passion, they have zeal, they want to serve, but they don't have a lot of knowledge. So this is so powerful. I tell you, it really drove home to me the importance of what something like SOM, obviously, SOM is not the only thing that God is using. It's probably one of the smallest ones that God is using all over the world. But so many schools, institutions, Bible colleges, seminaries that are raising up people and teaching them good stuff like this that can help them. But you and I have been blessed with SOM, and I just want to encourage you to keep close with the information, keep close with the knowledge that you have received as you have gone through this. So we talked about wisdom, talk about the spirit of excellence, talk about importunity and desperation for success, and then finally talk about commitment. Let me just read under commitment, because that one is really powerful. That one really, is one of the areas where I think people fail a lot. And even with the School of Ministry, think about it for a minute. Constantly, when we do our live online classes, you know, some of our admin staff who are helping us coordinate, you know, and things like that, at least one of our pastors who kind of coordinates with the students, we are constantly having her send out reminders, telling students, hey, you've dropped off. We haven't received anything from you for the last 3 months. Hey, you haven't done your last mid-semester exam. We're constantly having that happen. Why? Because it's so easy in life to just get derailed by the things going on in our lives. You know, life is so busy. Life is so, there's so much pressure to get so many things done. We have family concerns. We have business. We want to, you know, cater to finance, to career, and all of this. And if you are not careful, commitments that you made to the kingdom of God will be the first to fall by the wayside. And I think a lot of times that happens. So it's very important as ministry students, School of Ministry students, you keep in your spirit one of the most important benefits that you can get from SOM is the challenge to stick with it, the challenge to go all the way. to not drop off by the wayside. You know, I remember when we started, and constantly we have people who start, they register, they're excited about it, but you know, within a few weeks, they've dropped off. See, because this requires commitment. This requires commitment. And it's more challenging because we don't come to a class together every week. Your class is probably in your home or in your office or on your computer or whatever, you know. So it requires a lot of commitment. And that commitment, unfortunately, many of us just don't have. The stickability. I don't know if that's an English word, but stickability. The stickability, the ability to stick with it. That is, whatever it is you are called to do. And you know what? That's what life requires. That's what ministry is going to require. You will not be able to serve God in any capacity without stickability. That is, the excitement you started with at the beginning is not going to be enough to carry you through to the end. You are going to have to stick with it. Even when it gets challenging, when it gets difficult, so many things are calling for your attention, you are going to have to stick with it. That's why I really congratulate those of you who are almost rounding up now, because you stuck with it. That's why you are still there. But it's so easy to fall off. And so I like that part of it, that part of our teaching on ensuring continuity for life and ministry that talks about commitment. And the text was from Hebrews 12, 1 to 4. I can't read it. But here it says, commitment is defined as a pledge, a promise, guarantee to obligate oneself. A pledge, promise, guarantee to obligate oneself. That's what you did when you started school of ministry. So you shouldn't do two semesters or one and a half semesters and drop off, because you made a pledge to obligate yourself. Come rain or shine, you're going to follow through and you're going to get through to the end. But I understand it's tough. It's challenging to be able to follow through. But that's why we need to have this. It says the promise, the pledge, the guarantee to obligate oneself. When you commit to something, you are promising or guaranteeing that you will follow through with your word. Being in the ministry is a pledge. I tell you, if you can't follow through with your word on school of ministry, a two-year program, your chances of making it in the ministry of life are very, very slim. Trust me, because whatever challenges we encounter under school of ministry are so minute compared to the challenges that life itself and ministry in the broad sense of it is going to bring our way. So this is good. Yeah, the struggle is real, but you know what? Don't let the struggle determine how you end up. Keep picking yourself up. Wherever you stop, one semester, half semester, three-quarter semester, one three-quarter semester, pick yourself, keep picking yourself up and make up your mind. Hey, I made a pledge. When I registered, there's a reason I registered. I wanted something. And I'm going to follow through with that commitment. So he says, being in the ministry is a pledge and a commitment to serve God and do his will for the rest of our lives. We must determine to be sold out completely to God and to our calling. And I know that it's not going to be easy. But we must be determined to be sold out completely to God and to our calling. Make up your mind to go all the way. This is why commitment is so important. Learning to be committed is so important. Make up your mind to go all the way. Keep your word. Train yourself to complete tasks even when the going gets tough. That's right. Train yourself to do your assignment, to do your exam. Train yourself to go back and listen to that next lesson. Train yourself. It will help you. It will help you build some muscle, commitment muscle. It will help you build stability. It will help you build that word that I spoke, that I mentioned at the beginning, stickability, so that you can stick with it. Somebody said one of the reasons why the stamp is so powerful is that the stamp sticks with it. That is, at the beginning, you put that stamp on a letter, and it accompanies that letter until it arrives at its destination. So that is the power of stickability, that you don't just start, but you actually finish. And the only way you are going to be able to do that is through the power of commitment. Make up your mind to go all the way. Keep your word. Train yourself to complete tasks even when the going gets tough. The future of our ministry is guaranteed when we are committed to going all the way. That is so powerful. I really like that. Like I said, that's a great nugget, not just for those who are graduating soon, but for everyone who is currently doing something in school of ministry at whatever level you are. And then, of course, there's that last part where it talks about reproducing the minister and the ministry. All that's in lesson 38. I don't have time to go through that because I want to rush towards an end here. But that's also a very powerful part there where it talks about how it's important to reproduce whatever we have in others. So I'm trusting God for those who are graduating, that in addition to you graduating and finishing your task and what has been required of you, but that you would also continue this process. You would, in turn, go on and, you know, be a part of this discipleship cycle. That you've gone through this discipleship school, you will go out and find other people that you can help. People who don't know as much as you, people who are maybe so far away from where you are in terms of knowledge and experience in your Christian life, and that you will help them. People who are struggling, you will help strengthen them and pick them up. And some of them, maybe you will even refer to go and do a school of ministry program like this one. So keep that ball rolling. Remember, you were discipled so that you can become a disciple and so that you can disciple others. All of that is extremely powerful, and I trust God that School of Ministry has been a blessing to you, and it will continue to be a blessing to you and to your family. Okay, I want to close, and I want us to read a couple of scriptures tonight. I want to read first from 1 Corinthians 16, just a few verses there. I want to read from verse 13, and I'm going to read all the way to the end, and I'm going to read also from Colossians. Then when I'm done, I'm going to take questions regarding School of Ministry. But I just want to encourage you. These are like final parting notes that are strong in my spirit. 1 Corinthians 16, from verse 13, it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong." That in the Amplified reads, "Be alert and on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Act like men and be courageous. Grow strong in the Lord." Act like men and be courageous. Grow in strength in the Lord. He says, "Let all things be done with charity." The Amplified says, "Let everything you do be done in love, true love to God and man, as inspired by God's love for us." Verse 15, "I beseech you, brethren," as you well know, this is Paul's parting letter to the Corinthian church. "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas." He's talking about one particular family in the Corinthian church. "You know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." They are the first fruits of that region where that church was planted. But one of the very remarkable things about this family is that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's exactly what I was just talking about a few minutes ago. To addict yourself to your calling. They are addicted. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The Amplified says, "You know the household of Stephanas were the first converts and our first fruits in Achaia, most of Greece, and how they have consecrated and devoted themselves to the service of God's people." They have consecrated and devoted themselves to the service of God's people. So they addicted themselves to the point where they will not be dissuaded from doing what they are addicted to doing by any kind of situation or circumstance. Nothing is going to get in their way. Nothing is going to make them go home and stay home and not show up in service. Nothing is going to make them abandon the area of their calling and not keep doing it. They will not allow themselves to become so discouraged that they are not showing up. Remember, he told them earlier, "Be strong. Quit ye like men." So stop crying like a baby, like a crybaby. And stop that whiny lifestyle. Be strong. And then keep your commitment. He said they have addicted
addicted themselves. Oh, how the church needs people who have addicted themselves in this day and age. How the church needs people like that, who are addicted to the ministry, who are addicted to whatever calling God has placed upon their lives. People who will not make excuses. People who will not say, oh, you know, yeah, the wind has blown, so yeah, I used to be a minister, but no longer. People who are addicted. That is, they start and they never stop. Then he keeps going. He says that you submit yourselves unto this kind of people who are addicted. These addicted people are the people that should be our examples, he says. And remember everyone that helps with us. He says that you should pay all deference to such leaders and enlist under them and be subject to them. And then he goes on and says, I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Archaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they supplied. Now look at verse 18, because this is our calling. Now most of you here in School of Ministry may not pioneer a church. You may not pioneer a ministry. You may not be a planter of a church. You may not do something new. You may, though, be called to help someone who's pioneering. You may be called to assist somebody who is trying to get something done in the kingdom of God. Look at what he said about this group of people in verse 18. He says, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge you them that are such. Amplify says, they have given me respite from labor and rested me and refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Deeply appreciate and thoroughly know and recognize such men. Look at that. They gave him, they were not the ones on the forefront, but they became such a help to this man. They were not the ones on the forefront, but they became such a refreshing. They did not become a source of pain to this man. They did not become a source of another burden. He already has enough burden. They didn't become another channel of concern, more trouble to deal with, more fires to put out. No, they became a refreshing. Well, beloved, that's what you and I are called to be. A refreshing to God's people. That's what the light is. That's what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. So that means everywhere we go, whatever we do, we should be bringing a comforting to people. We should be bringing an ease to the kingdom of God. When we show up in a place, strife shouldn't show up. When we come into a church, when we come into a ministry, people shouldn't start having headache because we are there. People shouldn't start praying and hoping that we don't come back next Sunday because we are there. No, when we show up, the ministry should be easier. It should be easy for people to be, when they look at us, they are happy that we are there. Oh, praise God, I have been so blessed in my few years of ministry and pastoring to know people like that who just made life easy for me. That when they are there, I'm just so happy. When they are not there, I'm like, oh God, who's going to take care of that? That is what the kingdom of God needs. And I pray, beloved, that you are someone like that. You know, one of the biggest problems that we've had in the body of Christ is sometimes, you know, the Bible says knowledge puffs up. Sometimes the more knowledge people have, sometimes the more difficult they become. And that's unfortunate because they have lost the understanding and the reason for which God enlisted them in the army. See, the more knowledge you and I have, the easier life should be for those around us. You shouldn't create problems for your pastor because you went to SOM. You shouldn't create problems for the people around you because now you know more. Yeah, encourage them. Challenge them. Be a blessing to them. But don't be a source of refreshing. Don't be a source of burden to them. I thank God for what Paul said. He said, they have refreshed me. They gave me a break from my labor. That is when I'm in their company, my work gets easier. He said, they have helped me. They have assisted me. They helped me carry the load. That's what you and I are supposed to be. And praise God for the opportunity to go through SOM. Remember that is part of what you've been prepared to do, to become a refreshing. A refreshing. You may not be the one who's leading. You may not be the one who's making decisions, but you should make their work easier. You should be one of those people they can look at and say, hey, everybody can say, oh yeah, you know, let's follow brother whatever, let's follow sister whatever, because they are going to, they are, whatever it is they are doing, it is in line with what the ministry is trying to do. We shouldn't be the ones creating any kind of problems or division or strife. So powerful and so important. Then he says in verse 19, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. The church that is in their house. I like that, because these were lay people, Aquila and Priscilla. They were not really recognized ministers or apostles or anything like that, or pastors. They were lay ministers, but they talk about the church in their house. So these people must have had, and if you follow, you go in the book of Acts and read about Priscilla and Aquila, you see these are people that work with Paul. They learned some things in the ministry, and they put some of those things to work by starting a church in their house. And they became disciples of men because they themselves have been disciples. And yet, they were not officially pastors or apostles. That's what we are. He said, all the brethren greet you one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. That is, let him be accursed. Then he said the word Maranatha. Maranatha means the Lord is coming. This is one of the biggest things, expectations of a believer. Hey, the Lord is coming. In fact, in the early church, this is one of the ways they greeted themselves. Nowadays, more likely than not, in most of our fellowship, we say things like, bless you, be blessed. And that's good. That's good too. But in the early church, one of the ones they used a lot was, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. It served not only to encourage them to keep walking, but it also served to encourage them to not get down by the pressures and the challenges. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And then he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The grace. That grace is what will enable you to get your job done. That grace is what will perfect the will of God in your life. Hallelujah. And then, here he says, I like the way he ends it in verse 24. My love, he said. My love. This really blessed me. It's like you write a letter and then you say, I love you. He says saying to the whole church, I love you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. My love be with you all. Notice he didn't say God loves you. He said, I love you. My love be with you all. But that's what we should be. We should be channels of love. Channels of blessing. Channels of favor. Channels of refreshing. Praise God. Go over there to Colossians. I want to read in Colossians before I close tonight. Colossians chapter 4. Also, this is another important letter that Apostle Paul wrote. And he's closing it out. And this is the last part of that letter, the letter to the Colossians. Chapter 4 from verse 1. It says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Prayer is one of the greatest callings of the church. And certainly, for any of us that call ourselves ministers or those who have gone through a school of ministry, prayer is one of our greatest callings. We've learned here in school of ministry about prayer. Prayer is an ongoing ministry. You never graduate from the school of prayer. Notice it says, be earnest, in the Amplified, be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life. Being both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. Be steadfast. Be earnest. Be unwearied. Don't get so bent down, so discouraged that you can't pray. Don't get so busy that you no longer have a prayer life. Don't become so anointed that now you don't know how to pray anymore. Be unwearied. Be steadfast. Be earnest in your prayer life. Every minister, every believer should have a prayer life. That means you have times dedicated to prayer. Uninterrupted times. Times that are precious. That you and God converse. Be earnest in your prayer life. Then he said, praying for us, that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Pray for us. I like that. One of your greatest ministries as a student of the school of ministry is to pray for the body of Christ and to pray for the ministers in the body of Christ. There's so many things you will not understand, but learn to pray. Again, going back to the experience I shared earlier regarding my daughter and the situation they were dealing with in their school. You know, when it was all said and I wrapped up a few things for her here and there, and one of the most important things I said, remember that our business is spiritual. Our business is not intellectual. What we do is not intellectual, it's not political, it's not academic. Really, the kingdom of God is spiritual. And when it boils down to it, at the end of the day, our weapons are really not flesh and blood. Our weapons are weapons of war in the realm of the spirit. We don't change things by carrying placard. Nothing wrong with carrying placard. If you want to, that's fine. But change really does happen in the place of prayer. Change really does happen in the place of our devotion with God. When you want to withstand and you want to forestall the activities of the enemy, the place to do it is in the place of prayer. Remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 or 2 Corinthians 10, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That's where we wrestle. Our wrestling is not in these things that we can see. And where does that wrestling happen? In the place of prayer. Remember to pray for the saints. Remember to pray for ministers, for leaders. I said to her, I said, you know, there might be a number of things within that leadership and within that you would never understand or never know. I said, but one thing you can do, you can never go wrong. Pray for those leaders. Pray for them. Pray for them. As ministers, that's what we're called to do. Paul said, pray for us. Pray for us. He said that I may make it manifest. Then he says in verse 5, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Walking, we talked about that already. But I want to read that to you from the Amplified. It says, behave yourselves wisely, living prudently and with discretion in your relations with those of the outside world, the non-Christians. So you got to be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves, just like Jesus said. But look at the next sentence. It says, making the very most of the time and season or buying up the opportunity. Making the most of the time and buying up and seizing the opportunity. I like this because this is probably one of the most powerful things we can learn as ministers. The opportunity, when it knocks on our door, we've got to seize. We've got to seize. Opportunities are the open doors through which God takes us from one realm of our destiny to the next. And when it shows up, you've got to seize it. And how do you seize it? Number one, you've got to be alert in the spirit so you can recognize it. Number two, you've got to have sufficient wisdom so you can know how to make the best use of that opportunity. So powerful. Then it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you might know how to answer every man. Then it says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is the beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he may know your estate and comfort your heart. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things that are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluted you. And Marcus, my sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you have received commandment, if he come to you, receive him. And Jesus, who is called Justus, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comforter or comfort unto me. All these are fellow workers that Apostle Paul worked with. And I like that long list because it almost reminds me of who we are supposed to be. If Paul was writing a letter and we were living in the days of Paul and we had the opportunity to work with him, he should be writing the same kind of things about us. Then he says, Epaphras, verse 12, Epaphras, who is also one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you. He's always laboring. Look at this. He's always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Look at that. Not carrying brick and mortar, not building and not, there's nothing wrong with that, but his greatest labor was in the place of prayer. So after he did all of those things, he devoted time to laboring fervently for the believers in. How we need believers who will pray, who will labor fervently in prayer. who would devote themselves to the ministry of prayer. How we need believers who would not see that as a mean thing. Believers who will see that ministry as topmost. It's an A-rated ministry in the kingdom of God.
You know, one of our mentors, the late Reverend Kenneth Hagin, had an amazing experience while he was still here. The Lord, one of the visions that he had from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord took him to heaven. You may have heard this story before. And while he was in heaven, the Lord was showing him everything and the beautiful things and all of that. And then the Lord showed him this mansion or this place and this room, took him to this room. There are so many crowns. Crown upon crown upon crown. And Brother Hagin was looking at that, so amazed by it. And then the Lord pointed him to a woman kneeling down beside a bed and praying. And Brother Hagin looked at that woman. He recognized the woman. She was one of the members of his church, not one of the prominent ones. And the Lord Jesus said to him, that woman and her ministry of prayer for you. First, he said, she's praying for you. He said, but her ministry of prayer for you is one of the reasons your ministry is where it is today. And all of these crowns in this room belong to her. Why? Because she devoted herself to a ministry of prayer for that man of God. Every blessing that comes out of that ministry of that man of God goes back to her. Because she's one of those that holds on to the hands of God to see that his word is fulfilled in that life. All believers were called to prayer. School of ministry, graduate and graduate-to-be and student were called to prayer. Don't ever let that ministry slide. You don't have to be called an anointed intercessor. All of us are called to prayer. He says, Epaphras, who labor fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete, in all the will of God. I do pray for you, and I pray for myself, that the anointing and the grace for prayer, we know about the word, we know we have to be students of the word, we have to be devoted to the word, to growing in the word, to learning the word. But in addition to that, we have to be devoted to prayer. Those were the two ministries the apostles talked about in the book of Acts. They said we have to continually devote ourselves to the ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer. I pray for you and I pray for myself that the ministry of prayer will not become a relegated thing in our lives. We will not see it as, oh, you know, yeah, there are many important things. Yeah, that's one of the ones we need to do. Yeah, hopefully we can do it if we have time. No, that's A-rated ministry, the ministry of prayer. They say, for I bear him record that he has a great zeal for you. Wow. Great zeal. He's a brother who has a great zeal for other believers. Not a great zeal to make money. Not a great zeal to build a career. But a great zeal for the church. Oh, we need this. We need more and more and more of this in our churches today. He says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read amongst you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And I like verse 17, one of my favorite scriptures in the entire New Testament. It says, and say to Archippus, by the way, I don't have Archippus there, I now put my name on top of Archippus, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry that you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. Take heed to the ministry that you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. The Amplified Bible says, say to Archippus, see that you discharge carefully the duties of the ministry and fulfill the stewardship which you have received in the Lord. What a great way to end. So remember you have a ministry. Remember your call. And as we close, final live online class for, at least for those who are graduating. This will be a good way to encourage you. So remember, take heed to the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Remember, you are like Priscilla and Aquila.
You are like Epaphras. You are like Stephanas. You are like all of those people that Paul talked about in these two scriptures that we've just read. They were not prominent people in the church, as in like they were pastors or they were apostles or they were things like that. But these were laborers in the kingdom of God who accomplished much because of their devotion. I encourage you to be just as devoted, and I know that the grace of the Lord will be more than sufficient to help you. Okay, praise the Lord, and thank you for allowing me to share with you. Finally, I thank you again for the opportunity to be a part of your lives and your ministry, the opportunity to be able to share with you this couple of years and to be a part of this School of Ministry program with you. I want to throw this open for any questions or comments that anyone may have. And there should be a chat box there on your computer screen. If you have questions or comments or anything you want to say, please feel free to type that out there, and we'll try to address those. We should be able to close in just a few minutes here. Thank you for your patience today. Okay, no questions, I see. All right, well, praise God, that's good. Thank you so much for, again, for being a part of our live online class tonight. I pray that you have a blessed Christmas celebration, a wonderful, blessed, and happy new year in 2015. The final exams for those in the fourth semester, final exams will be posted early in January. I know you're not going to do the exams anyway before Christmas. You'll be too busy with Turkey and the rest of the thing. So, but early in January, by God's grace, we'll post the final exams. So you can do it whenever you're ready and then get into your practicum. And like I said, you have some time between January and March to do your practicum, January and April. And then hopefully we can have final grades and everything turned out to you in the spring. For those who would graduate, we should have at least one graduation ceremony or graduation event this coming year by God's grace in 2015. It's either going to happen during our convention in June or it's going to happen during our convention in October. So somewhere between June and October, we will walk into our conventions, a graduation event for those who are graduating now and everyone who's graduating between now and then. The Lord bless you. Thank you so much again. Let's just share a word of prayer and thank God as we close. Father God, we thank you so much for your goodness and your faithfulness and your loving kindness. And thank you so much for all that you have done for us. We love you so much, Father. We're so thankful. We're so privileged. We're so humbled to be called your children and your servants. Father, thank you, Lord, for this class, not only tonight, but every other class that we have held before now. Thank you, Father, for all the ways in which you have helped us. Thank you, Father, for everything you have done to bless us. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for keeping watch over your word in our lives. Thank you for bringing us to a place, Father, of blessing, even through this School of Ministry program. I pray, Father, for all of our students and every one of us, God, that as we enter into this holiday season, that your blessings will abide upon us. Cause the glory of God to favor us. Cause the glory of God to bless us. Cause the glory of God to establish us. And God, take us into the new year, Lord, with a renewed focus. Father, with a new insight, a great new passion for the greater things that you want to do for us next year. We're so thankful to you, Father. We bless your name. We give you all the glory. I thank you, Father, for everyone who has helped us in these programs and in these events. I pray that your blessing might abide upon them and upon their houses in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this precious equipment that you've given to us. We are so thankful to you, Father. We bless your name. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you, beloved. I do love you. And again, I thank God for you. I'm going to be praying for you right through this season. And I trust God to be in touch with you in the new year. God bless you.